also, I want to give a little bit of shout out. I'm so proud that yesterday my gym, who is coached by Jessica Pratt, who is here this morning, did a fundraiser for the PTSD clinic at the Veterans Hospital here in Batavia called the Murph. Your pastor participated in it. It's a mile run, which I rode a mile first, and that's 100 pull-ups, which I had help with. She gives you bands because I'm too fat to pull myself up 100 times, so I did 100 of them, 200 push-ups, 300 squats, and then I took off and I ran and walked that last mile. But she raised $1,000 to that. I just want to say, proud of you. That was really great. I had felt for some time, even before what has taken place in our community in the last couple weeks, that I needed to just to talk about this a little bit. A couple weeks ago, our community witnessed a shooting and also a stabbing that took the life of an individual. So many people have so many opinions on that. And I'm, just to be honest, I'm not looking for any amens when I talk about this. I don't want any because there's some people, they have so many steeped thoughts and opinions of it that one person will be happy with one thing and another one will be resentful. That's not what my motive here is today. My motive is to speak to a people, to speak to a community. I sent our police chief just a message this morning, said, we're here to help. I want to do whatever. I'm on a committee in the county called the Community Justice Advisory Council, has the chief on it, has state police, has the city judge, the county judge, the head of people of county manager, city manager, people there. I don't even know why I'm there, but I know I'm there for a purpose and a reason. I know the church, I know you are here for a purpose and a reason. Not just to come, not just to say, well, that was a nice message and he made me feel good, but to make a difference. To help others, as well as allowing God to change our own lives. And this is why the gospel, the word of God is so important, because it penetrates our hearts. And it goes down deep inside of us. And if we'll allow it, it will transform who we are and make us into who God has called us to be. And the only way that these things are really accomplished is through a love that is demonstrated. Not only by God to us, but God through us as well. And this verse of scripture in James is so real and it's so pertinent to this. In James 4, 1, 2, and 3, he says, what causes the fights and quarrels among you? I want you to think about that. Don't they come from your own desires that battle inside of you? And that he pins it right down here. He says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. And you mistreat other people, and you talk negative about people. You talk negative in your own home, in your own life. This is what God said. He said, you covet, you can't get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight about it. He said, you don't have because you don't ask God. And my brothers and my sisters, if we'd start there, instead of trying to get what we want from others, who also need to ask God, if we'd go right to the source of the one who can give us whatever we need, he would give it to us. But then he even goes on to say, you don't have because you don't ask God. And even sometimes some of you, when you do ask him, you don't get it because you're asking with an impure motive. So you can spend it on your own pleasure. Do you want to know how many people that I've met in life that have told me, well, if God only gave me this, then I would do that for him. Only for him to give them this and for them to do that for themselves and not for God. Is this mic working up there, Dan? I know Jeff's not in the sound booth today. Are you here? And God has called you and I to be people that would show love and that would give love. And that would be that conduit that would allow God's plan and His purpose to flow through our lives, even when it's not convenient, even when we're not ready to do it, even when we're not prepared. And I was trying to think, and I remembered the old song, and I went back to find out when it was written and when it was sung. It was sung back in 1966 by Dionne Warwick, and the song is, "What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." And then one of the verses says, "No, not just for some, but it's for everyone." And I know some of you can sing that song perfectly. I want to know why you can't sing the songs that God wrote perfectly. I'm just joking with you. I'm just having fun with you. But the world needs the love that only God can give, and it can only be shed when it comes through our hearts, through our hands, and through our mouths. And we are the only people that He has anointed, He has blessed, and He has given a commandment to do just that. And I'm not just talking about loving in the world, my brothers and sisters. I'm talking about learning to love even within the body of believers, the body of Christ in the church. People getting upset and hurt and carrying bitterness, and it's because we don't get what we want when we want it and how we want it. And God says, "I want to help you with that. I want to give you a greater level and a greater dose of this love from heaven above so that you can let this flow through who you are and through who I've called and commanded you to be." And the reality of it is, you can have a relationship without any fights, but you can make your relationship worth the fight. Come on today. You ought to write that down. You can't have a relationship without any disagreements, but you can make your relationship worth the disagreement. Married 40 years. I was telling somebody just the other day, he said, "I met your wife." I said, "Yeah, she's a great girl." I said, "I've been married to her 40 years, and I can't believe it still. You don't think my wife and I have ever had a fight and a battle? And that she's won them all?" But through the fight and through the battle, you got to make up your mind. Is it worth it? You better believe it's worth it. Because there's a greater cause at the other side of it. And you're always going to be faced with a decision in life when you love people that you can either stick with it, or you can make the decision, "I'm going to walk away." Or you can make the decision, "I'm just going to try harder and I'm going to make this thing through." Oh, I like this. I like my own preaching here this morning. I needed to preach to me a little bit. Romans 5, listen to the love of God. Romans 5, he says, "You see, just at the right time when you and I were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly." He goes on to say, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, but for a good person, someone may possibly dare to die." Verse 8, "But God demonstrates His love for you and I." Listen to this. Look at it. "That while you and I were dead, dark, black sinners." I mean black as sin. I mean deep in the depths of the worst moment in your life. The Bible says, look at it, Christ died for you and I. He didn't die for you and I when we came to church and, "Oh, we're going to get cleaned up and get all pretty and slap on some good smelling juice and everybody's going to think we got it all together." That's not when He died for you. He died for you and I when you and I were at our worst, when we were at our darkest moment, when nobody else wanted to be around us. The Bible says that's when He came. That's when He gave His life for you and I. He died for you and I at your worst so that we could know that He loves us no matter where, when, or how we are. And He changes. Amen. If you're going to clap, don't mess around today. Come on, it's Memorial Day weekend. And He gives you and I a charge in Jude 21. I love how He says this in that little book just before Revelation. He said, "Keep yourself in God's love." You keep yourself in the love of God. You keep yourself not only receiving that love, but when you keep yourself in the love of God, you keep yourself in a posture that you're going to give away the love of God. You're going to act like it. You're going to talk like it. You're going to show it. You're going to demonstrate the love of God because He loved me, and now I can love somebody else. I can love others. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 3:5, he says, "The Lord direct your hearts into God's love." Ask Him. If you're going to be kept in God's love, if you're going to show the love of God, you got to ask Him every single day, "God, direct me in your love. Show me how I can love somebody today. Show me what you want to say." And let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters, it's not always going to be easy, or it's not always going to be convenient. But it's the love that God has for you and I that flows through you and I that can help us to be who and what He has called us to be. And without it, our relationships and our lives, they're dry. They're mechanical. They're just empty. If you don't have any love, let me tell you something. Get up out of here today when you leave and just show some love. Show, tell, talk. Tell somebody how good it is to see them. Not just in church here, but when you're outside of church. Some of the greatest moments in your life that you can have is when you begin to share the love of God beyond the four walls of your comfort. And do something for somebody that cannot pay you back for the love that you share for them. And let that love that God has for you flow through your life. I know it's not easy. Some of you are going to be with some family this weekend. You're going to need this message. You're going to need this extra dose of love. You're going to be around them and they're going to be like, "Oh my goodness, not this again." And right in the middle, yeah. Praise the Lord. I lost my place. Now that amen just threw me off. No, you're going to need this love. You're going to need this. You're going to have to demonstrate it. How do I do this? How can I start this? Let me just give you these couple things, and then we're going to be out of here. Number one, you got to learn. You got to just make up your mind. You're going to commit to one another. You're going to stay committed. I'm not just talking in marriage. I'm talking about in relationships. So you come into my life, you're going to have to leave my life because I'm going to stay committed to you. I don't walk out. And God says that if you're going to love one another, you're going to stay committed to one another. 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, so we ought to lay down our lives for others." Can I ask you today, are you ready to do that? And this is how we know it. Not only that we receive it, I don't want to be just this person all the time that's just taking everything in. I want to show it. I want to demonstrate it outwardly. He said just two things in that verse. By this, we know Him because He laid down His life for us. And then He says we ought to lay down our lives for each other. Commit to one another. Commitment is not always easy. It's not always convenient. It's not going to be in your time frame. And I get so tired of that with people that sometimes say, "Well, it doesn't fit in my time frame." Since when did the love of God have to be displayed through your life only when you're ready to give it? Give it away. Commit that you're going to do that. I charge every one of you today that you'll commit to loving one another as He has loved you and I. Commit to it. And then, if you're going to commit to it, you're going to learn to accept people. You've got to learn to accept one another. Warts and all, I'm not talking about enabling people. Don't get the two mixed up. Enabling people, and I have people all the time that want me to enable them. "Can you give me this? I need it for that." No, you don't. You're going to go use it for that. Amen. Don't be so quiet in this Methodist church this morning. That's an old joke. That's not even funny. Loving and accepting is not enabling. I'm not giving you money so you can go hurt yourself. I am not getting you this or that so you can go where you shouldn't go. But I can accept you where you are. I can put my arm around you. I can love you and say, come on, I'll walk with you on this journey. I'll walk hand in hand with you. I'll help you. You stay handcuffed to me and we'll make it through this together. That's accepting one another. Amen. Come on. That's accepting one another. I had this guy years ago. This is years ago. He was in and out of jail. He was, you know, he had a drug issue. That was just one of them. Many issues. Gets out. He said, Pastor, I need you to help me. I said, I'll help you. Okay, how are you going to help me? I said, you stay with me. How am I going to stay? Show up. Be with me every day. I'll work with you. You hang out with me. We'll do things together. Okay. Came one day. Didn't see him the next. Went right to his house. His family opened the door. I said, where's so-and-so? He's in bed. I said, why is he in bed? He said he was tired. I said, get him up. He won't get up for me. I said, which way is his bedroom? I walked over. I said, hey, you told me you were going to stay with me day after day. Where are you? I accept you right now. But I don't enable you to live the way you live not one day longer. Come on, let's rise up and be the people that God has called us to be. Because you and I are called to be the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, he says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Not just somebody else, you are. You are the light of the world. He says, you're a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You, my brothers, 1 John 4 says, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And in this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Live through him and him live through us. And brothers and sisters, when that happens, that love flows through us. And we become more like him. Which leads me to, if you're going to live that way, you got to learn to serve one another. Again, not just when it's convenient. But Galatians 5:13, Paul says, serve through love. Here it is again, through love, serve one another. I'm not going to just serve, okay, I did this, now you give me that. That's not the kind of love he's talking about. I'm going to serve you because I know there's no way you can give me back. That's real love. I love that. And you and I cannot live from a distance. Last week, I walked down Central Avenue. I wanted to walk down through, and I was hugging and shaking hands. Some of the people come on. There were drug deals going right on in front of me. And to my old nature, I would have ran and jumped on the guy. But my new nature is I put my arm around him and say, man, I love you. You what? I said, I love you. I want to help. I want to be in your life. Okay. And then there's a guy, they all know me. I don't know who they are. Hey, it's the Reverend. It's the Reverend he's coming. Then some call me Father. Oh, yeah. Amen. God bless you, child. I want to serve them. I want to help. Not because I want to get something from them, but I want to get something to them. And we grow when you and I serve. Because when you serve, it destroys the pride in your life that says, I'm too good for that. I'm not going to do that. And when you serve, you touch the heart of God. Oh, praise God. You touch the very heartbeat of God, which will lead you to the next thing you have to learn to tolerate. People. You got to learn to tolerate Ephesians 4:2 with all lowliness. and gentleness, long-suffering, bear with one another. How? In love. Caring for one another in a true and with a true heart of love. And when the love of God rules your heart, it brings everything into perspective. Changes you. It changes your family. It changes your community. It changes where you work. It changes your life. It makes all things new again. And then I want to leave you with this last. If you're going to show God's love, you're going to have to learn to be kind. Sometimes I don't want to be kind. Sometimes I don't think the people that truly deserve kindness, I don't want to give it to them. Am I the only one up here? I'm going to hang out on my own here. Is there anybody else? Be kind to you. What you said, what you did, how you treated me, what you said about me. But kindness is a byproduct of love. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even as God in Christ sent his Son to hang on a cross, shed his blood, and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Can you say that to somebody that's hurt you? Because if you can, it'll be easy for you to show kindness to them. It's not a natural attribute that comes in our lives, is it? But Jesus, he brings it home one more level. He says this in Luke 6:35. He said, love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. What? What? You could read it. Love your enemies. This is really out of the Bible. If you'd bring your Bible and open it up to Luke 6:35, you could read it with me. Love your enemies. Jesus speaking, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. That's agape love. The world's kind of love, the phileo kind of love, says, if I give to you, here it is again, if I give to you, then I expect something back. I did this, so why don't you do this for me? And Jesus says, even in the midst of teaching us this lesson in love, he said, lend and plan on getting nothing back. Do you know how much that would heal your heart and your life if you planned on loving and giving love and didn't anticipate getting anything in return? Jumpstart that in your life this week. Drive through a drive-thru. Now, I never buy fast food, ever. But I go through a drive-thru to get coffee, something. You buy not only the car behind you, buy the next three cars behind you. So the guy behind you can't drive up close and say and wave at you and say thank you. Give, hoping for nothing in return. There's something that happens in your life. As menial as you might think that is, it transforms your life to learn to love and to give. He said, do good, lend. Don't expect anything in return, because your reward will be great and you'll be the sons of the Most High, for he's even kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Romans 2:4 says, do you not know? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you and others and people to repentance? My brothers and my sisters, today, I come to you with a heart to show one another love. I am compelled in this. I feel this working in my heart. I feel it working in this church and in this body, in this community. I'm not talking about enabling. Don't confuse the two. But I'm talking about showing the love of God in a dimension and in a capacity that maybe we've never shown before. And it's going to take effort. It's going to make some of you feel uncomfortable. If you'll allow God to, He'll take you out of the box that you have built around you, the walls that you have constructed around you. I've been hurt. Nobody's going to hurt me again. Nobody's going to come in. If you're going to love and live for God, you're going to have to let Him take those walls down. Say amen to me on that. Close your eyes. Bow your head with me today. Some may be here today. You've never given your life to Jesus. You need to do that before you leave today. Surrender your heart to Him. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I ask you to forgive me of every sin I've ever committed. Cleanse me of it. Wash me. Make me new. And help me to love like you have loved me. Spirit of the living God, I pray for my friends today. I pray strength. Prayer people, come on down to the altar if you would. I pray strength on their lives. Lord, for some, as I'm here today, I'm sensing some need to have a work of forgiveness take place in their life. Some need to have a work of kindness to begin to be manifested in their lives. I ask you, Lord, that this will be a reality to every person today. Whatever the need is, God, meet them, I pray, in a mighty and in a powerful way, I ask today, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I love you so much. I thank God for you. If you need prayer today, I want you to come down. Let one of these folks pray with you and over you today. Go in His grace. Remember tomorrow to pause and remember what this country and what those that have given their lives have really meant to you and I. I love you. God bless you.